Hi, I'm Sheila Renee. This week on Backstage, Paul Kantner, guitarist and songwriter of the Jefferson Starship. This is a group I've been watching since 1965. Tune in Sheila Renee Backstage for an insight into Paul Kantner and the music of the Jefferson Starship.
The Broadcast Arts Group presents. From San Francisco, this is Sheila Renee Backstage. Tonight, Sheila takes you backstage for a behind-the-scenes visit with today's music makers.
The Jefferson Airplane flew into the San Francisco Haight-Ashbury psychedelic scene in the early 60s. The Matrix, a nightclub run by the Airplane, hosted some of the biggest groups ever in their club. I remember the Doors and Jim Morrison especially. In San Francisco, the Golden Gate Park was another scene of many fabulous memories. The band changed members, changed the name to Jefferson Starship, and kept on putting out good records. Now, in 1981, Grace Slick is back performing with the band, and Modern Times, their new album, is the best one ever, with all members putting in their best shot.
Okay, class, we've all heard it's in the bag, we've all heard grab bag, but who can tell me more about bag?
It's what you carry your lunch in.
No!
It's what they put your groceries in at the store.
No, it's not a what, it's a who.
It's BAG, the Broadcast Arts Group. BAG is several California broadcasters who create and develop high-quality programming for nationwide syndication.
That's right!
BAG's active professionals bring over 25 collective years radio experience to this endeavor.
That's right!
Tonight's Sheila Renee Backstage is one example of their work.
That's right!
That's BAG!
That's BAG?
That's right, and if you have any ideas for shows you'd like to hear come out of the bag, send your thoughts to Broadcast Arts Group.
Hey, what's your shirt say?
I was backstage with Sheila Renee.
Did you get that button from them, too?
Yeah, it came free with the shirt.
Paul and I meet up a couple of nights a week when he's in town and when the rock and roll is flowing through. Of all the rock musicians I know, he's the one out supporting the new local groups. For this interview, I met with Paul at the Starship House in San Francisco, their office and rehearsal studio. It was a very sunny and warm day, so we left the windows open, and the sounds of the city were the backbeat of Modern Times. Two things that strike my mind about this album is that, number one, it's a big family project. I mean, everybody got involved on this one, Jeanette Sears and Pete Sears again in writing, and you in writing. Everybody did a little bit.
Sure.
And a much heavier guitar sound on this one to me.
Sure, Craig has a lot to do with that.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Great, I love it.
Oh, me too.
Yeah, just love it.
Yeah, we all do.
Did you have a hard time figuring out the single on this one? There's so many songs on this that could be a single.
I don't know about that. We never know what's what. We just ask a lot of friends.
Ask a lot of friends.
See what the consensus is.
The acoustic on that.
Or Find Your Way Back?
Yeah.
No, that's Craig.
Is that Craig?
Yeah. I got him into 12-string guitar a couple years ago. He loved it. It sounds great.
It does sound great. Yeah. And it really stands out on that, too.
Yeah, I don't know if we'll be able to do that live, because, you know, it's hard to get that kind of a sound across live, but the way we do it is really neat.
Well, do you think about these songs having a live life when you record them?
What do you mean?
Well, do you take into consideration what you're not going to be able to do live when you record it?
There's not really that much that we can't do live. The only difference would be sometimes substituting quieter electric guitars for acoustic guitars on the album. We might even use some acoustics where they're appropriate, but mostly it'll be electric rock and roll.
Jefferson Starship have completed a full circle, and now Grace is back on several cuts, singing back up with Mickey Thomas. When we return, more about Grace Slick and some of the songs on the new album.
A symphony. Individual sounds skillfully blended to produce an achievement unattainable by one person alone. Now listen to the sounds of crime prevention. A key being turned in a lock. A yard light being switched on to dissolve the darkness which criminals use as a shield. A phone call to police to report a suspicious person in a neighbor's yard. If we could multiply these sounds by the millions, America could produce a symphony of crime prevention which can drown out the discordance of crime in this nation. The Exchange Clubs of America urge you to play your part. Learn how you can help America cut crime. Write Counter Crime, Post Office Box 2672, Toledo, Ohio, 43606. Remember, America must cut crime. Become the instrument to make it happen.
Sheila Renee Backstage will continue in a moment. This is Sheila Renee Backstage. Tonight's guest is Paul Kantner of the Jefferson Starship.
When the truth is found to be lies, and all the joy within you dies, don't you want somebody to love? Don't you need somebody to love? Wouldn't you love somebody to love?
been a few years and two solo albums of her own since Grace has recorded with the Starship. Now on Modern Times, she's back singing with Mickey Thomas, and everybody is happy about that. The album was recorded in Sausalito at the record plant in just over 4 months with producer Ron Nevison. This is his second production job for the band. One of the big things on this album that's getting a lot of to-do is the fact that Grace is back with you again.
Well, just easing her way back in. Yeah, we had finished most of the album before she had seen the light, as it were. And we just left it as it were, as it was. And we're going out on the road with her. We'll probably do some of her songs.
You're going to leave some space open for a couple of hers off Wrecking Ball.
Mm-hmm. Or who knows? I mean, we haven't really locked anything down seriously yet, but yeah, we figured Grace will have a couple of spaces for songs of her own, and there's songs that she's done with us before, and the stuff she's singing on this album with Mickey, and I'm sure it'll develop on its own.
Had you ever thought, before Grace came back, about how she'd sound with Mickey?
She had toyed around with that when a long time ago when we were first starting, but still was having trouble with alcohol and all that stuff. And hadn't quite gotten it together yet. It sounded good then. Well, there was potential there.
Stranger, I heard you do that first down when you played Palo Alto.
Mm-hmm.
And then now to hear it on the album with her voice so beautifully mixed with his.
Yeah, it
just takes my breath away, it really does. Those two voices.
Yeah, we're looking forward to a lot of that, actually.
Drops falling, winter feels so gloomy.
heard a lot of stories about how Grace came back, that she called up Bill Thompson, your manager, and said she wanted to come back to work, and he said, can you type? Which I thought was a real funny story.
Sure.
And probably true. Mm-hmm. And probably true. Into the studio in Sausalito, the record plant. How long were you over there? I kind of lost track.
Oh, it got real long, actually. Our producer got a bit crazy.
Ron Nevison.
Yeah.
Again.
Yeah.
This is the second album.
Yeah.
For Ron.
Yeah. I got a lot of hard working on it there, and then Grace came back too, and we took it out. It may have been 4 months total, Los Angeles and San Francisco.
Did it seem like a long time? Didn't to me. I mean, it just seemed like
days.
Well,
you didn't
to
have
me.
To do it.
No, I didn't have to do it. But anyway, I was kind of.
It was a little long for us this time.
A little long. Did Nevison throw you any curves, sneak anybody in at night that you didn't know about to put on a track or do anything crazy like that this time? No. Does he get easier to work with? Or
no, he's worse. It was worse to work with, Frank.
He gets worse.
Yeah, it's hard. I don't know if we're going to use him on the next album. But when he's good and he's on, he's great. Just getting him there is sometimes the problem.
After hearing the album, Paul, are there any surprises for you on this that you didn't hear when you were making it?
Oh, always. I mean, it's planned for me, and I plan it that way, rather than sort of plan everything out and know what's going to happen, which is another valid way of doing it. I just like to sort of sketch it out and let people lay on top of it, you know, what they feel, rather than telling everybody what to play. And so I'm always in store for great surprises, you know, so that's part of the up part of recording for me, is that people surprise me a lot with real tasty, neat stuff that, you know, I wouldn't have thought of had I been thinking of parts, you know, wouldn't have even entered my mind, and I like that about recording.
What about the arrangement of some of these songs? Were they pre-arranged? Did you work them out here at the house before you got over there?
Yeah.
Were they all written?
Yeah, for once.
For once,
by and large, they were all written. I think we didn't have all the words on a couple of Craig's. Mary and Free, maybe, were written in the studio.
Mary and Free. See, those are two of the songs that I think could have been a single as well.
Yeah, I like Mary quite a lot.
Backstage returns, Paul talks about his ongoing solo projects and the Starship's ever-prevailing struggle to play free concerts.
Ago from the heart of the nation, we used to dig coal, gas, and oil to fuel a mighty American machine, bigger and better and more. Our children were taught to guzzle the gas in their homes and their powerful cars, a symbol of happiness, a sign of success, an empty climb to the stars. Bigger and better and more. We gotta cut waste, stop guzzling precious fuel, stop the needless energy drive. Gas guzzler cars, gas guzzler gadgets, gas guzzler lies. A public service announcement of this station and the U.S. Department of Energy.
Sheila Renee Backstage will continue in a moment. This is Sheila Renee Backstage. Tonight's guest is Paul Kantner of the Jefferson Starship.
The Starship have always thought it a worthwhile project to perform free for all of their fans, and depending on the cause, donated the proceeds accordingly. Politics have always played a part in the Starship's philosophy, and that's reflected in the solo project that Paul Kantner is working on, specifically an album to come and a novel that he's still writing. A little closer to home, Paul's song Stairway to Cleveland off the new album deals directly and humorously with some of those situations.
We can be together.
Thank you. George, but I and me. Here I've seen lawless, hideous, dangerous, dirty, violent, and young. We should be together. Come on, all you people standing around. All lives to find a better time. We should be together.
One of the things that I've always respected you guys for is because you've always been very conscious of your sound and not wanting to play huge auditoriums where you can't get the proper sound. I mean, you won't even play a big one here in your hometown for us.
A big what?
Big concert. I mean, I know Bill Graham's tried to get you to do Days on the Green. I know he's probably been on his knees.
Oh, yes. You know, we'd even agreed at one point in one with some weakness and then rescinded it and had to cancel after he sold about 20,000 tickets or something. Yeah, I can't. That's not really rock and roll for me. I mean, there's nothing wrong with it if people like to go to it, I guess, you know. If there's a market there, somebody will fill it. It's just not a market I want to fill. And I don't really enjoy doing that much. I've been to some big concerts that are fun, but they're unique, and they're not like, you know, in a baseball stadium, and there's something about them that they're celebrating, or they're doing something, if they're around a lake, or and they can be good, but... I think it's a thing of the past, by and large.
Yeah, the event sort of takes over any kind of musical excellence you might want
to
hear.
Yeah, that's a good place to go meet girls and guys or whatever you want to be, you know.
All right, friends, you have seen the heavy groups. Now you will see Morning Maniac music. Believe me, yeah. It's a new dawn.
On the Green are certainly events for me.
Yeah, you know, just the sound is so atrocious.
Well, now, I don't hear it.
Well, you should.
I don't.
I made a point of it because when, that's why I went and saw Fleetwood Mac there, which was one of my favorite groups that year, which was like 70. It was just when they were first starting to break big. And it was embarrassing. I mean, you know, it's awful, really, to sound like that and expect people to pay what they pay back there. I guess everybody pays the same, right, to get into those places.
Just about the same.
So that's real rip. Sit getting sunburned, hearing worse music than you hear on a teeny transistor. We don't do TV, you know.
I know you don't. It's a rare treat.
It's such a horrible sound, usually, to deal with it.
Yeah.
To get it right, you know, like it takes us 4 months to get the stupid thing together for 40 minutes. So just rushing into a studio for 4 days, you know, you don't really have the opportunity to engineer the session, as it were, like you should. You can't take care of everything you need to take care of. So it sounds normal, not real. Always comes out. So usually the drums sound very thwap, thwap, dry on television, and they put the voices up, you know, because they're used to Andy Williams and everything, so the voices up and a lot of echo, and all the instruments way back over in the next studio. And we've done TV with the Smothers Brothers show, in that situation before, long ago.
Oh, I remember that.
They were helpful.
Hey, pretty baby, let's go over.
Paul, that you were working on a project, perhaps a solo album.
I wouldn't call it a solo album. I'm not the only one playing on it, but it's sort of solo direction.
Yeah. Solo direction.
I'm writing a novel that a record goes with, hopefully, if I can coordinate it all over, I don't know how long it's going to take, actually.
Is this going to be a space trip?
Among other things. It's a riot story about a rock and roll band. It's close to home. Who say, gets possession of a technology that allows telepathic amplification, would be the best way to sort of simplify it, to amplify telepathic powers that either exist or are made to exist because, you know, machines amplify them, and the government wants to get them naturally. And it's a rock and roll band playing and using them in public and coming up against sinister forces and retreating from the country. There's like a whole born-again side of it, of Christian right-wing government agents and things like that. Although modern times are fast catching up on me, and the novel will be old hat before I get it written.
Indeed.
Because I was writing 10 years or 5 years into the future, and it's like already happened, you know, as far as all that right-wing business is concerned. So I may have to change the villain side of it by the time I get it finally written.
Boy, you may have to update it a lot.
True. But mainly the main thing of it is just an album of music by the supposed band in the book. And it's called the Planet Earth Rock and Roll Band.
The Planet Earth Rock and Roll Band.
Something I got from Jerry Garcia along many years ago. We were doing a project together.
How you gonna feel when you see old lady strolling on the deck of a starship with her head hooked into Andromeda? Come on, hijack. We're gonna get back and ahead to the things that matter. America hates the crazies and you got to let go, you know.
Who's playing on the album with you? Who will be?
I'm hoping to cut the basic tracks with Ainsley Dunbar and Jack Cassidy. And myself just playing a rhythm guitar, either electric or acoustic, and then overdub from there. Grace is going to sing. Helen Schneider, that girl, I don't know if you know her.
Oh, yes, I have.
Mickey's going to do some singing. I mean, all the group is going to do some stuff for me. A couple other people, a guy named Paul Warren in Los Angeles, I'm hoping to have do some guitar work.
Yeah, he helped you on some lyrics.
No. Oh, well, he was partly responsible for the inspiration behind Stairway to Cleveland.
Oh, yeah?
Which goes all the way back to the beginning of this group, really. Is that when we were first starting to record Freedom at Point Zero, we hadn't really even signed a contract with RCA yet. I mean, it was all in the works, and all the points had been agreed to, but the basic doing of it hadn't occurred yet because it takes so long in the legal ease, you know, that they go through. And at one point we had gone and seen this guy Paul Warren, an explorer, was the name of his group, which is sort of a new wave Los Angeles. He's a studio guitar player in Los Angeles, quite good. And Ray Manzarek, he was in Night City, I think it was called, a group of Ray Manzareks before. And Ray Manzarek was sort of hanging around, and his friend and was playing keyboards that night at the Starwood with him, was real drunk, and he got into sort of a Doors rap about how the world was all, you know, people are telling me, well, you're a guitar player, you know, I don't like your shoes and your this and that. He'd fall down on the floor like Morrison used to do, going into sort of cataclysmic fits, you know, and ending up with, oh, if you, you know, I'm going to do what I want. And at that point, RCA was telling us that they couldn't get together with Mickey's contract over getting Mickey to be able to play with us, because he had just signed a contract with Elektra. That whole complex before he joined us, and they couldn't get it together. And so we all sort of took that state of mind of saying to both record companies, ours and Mickey's, that if you guys can't get it together, we'll just fuck you. You know, we're going to go out and play as a band and be a band because we want to. And that was the sort of point where the band fused together another step as a band and sort of joined hands symbolically, as it were.
The Jefferson Starship have always been a contemporary band, not willing to be satisfied with what they've done in the past, but always looking into the future. When Backstage continues, Paul Kantner talks more about the new album, a few of his insights, and what the future might hold.
Should know the law's on your side whenever you shop by mail, because now you have the right to on-time delivery. If you don't get your order when promised, you can cancel your order for a full refund.
The law's on your side when you shop by mail.
If you're ever sent something without your permission, the law's on your side all the way. When you get anything in the mail that you didn't order, you can keep it for free. No questions asked. You don't have to pay for what you didn't order, and you don't have to send it back. It's free.
The law's on your side.
A public service of this station and the Federal Trade Commission.
Sheila Renee Backstage will continue in a moment. This is Sheila Renee Backstage. Tonight's guest is Paul Kantner of the Jefferson Starship.
The new album from the Jefferson Starship, Modern Times, is once again a group collaboration. Paul Kantner's a realist, and it shows in his songs on the album. He's hard-pressed to come up with his favorite, since it changes day by day.
Forward to your solo project. It sounds dynamite. I don't know how you keep all this together. I mean, you're going to be out on the road.
Who says it's together?
You're getting ready to go out on tour, right? Well, does that mean that perhaps the free concert could happen still?
Well, no, we can't do the one in Kezar that we were trying to do, because that Kezar is in too bad of a shape. It wasn't going to be a free concert. We're looking for a couple other things on that level that I can't really discuss yet.
All right.
But we might get that together either before or later in the summer if we can work it out. It's still a problem with the Parks Recreation Department.
Even though you want to do something as a benefit for them, which is totally...
Well, there are some people, perhaps rightfully or wrongfully so, interested just in the fate of the park. Some just don't like rock and rollers, but others are naturally interested in the safety of the park, which is getting a bit torn down and bedraggled with the Proposition 13 thing. I think that was a directive for most people in California to the legislators to redirect some of their resources. And they've chosen to redirect what most people consider more critical resources than not, you know, where they could get, instead of doing with 11 supervisors and going down to 5, they've chosen to cut out libraries or which sort of goes to show you about, you know, it's not the spirit of what people voted for, I think. And they're just trying to make people, show people, well, we'll show you. We'll just take all, it's like the supervisors voting themselves a raise right after the, I mean, that's just ludicrous. You know, you lose, not that I could lose any more faith in politics now, but some people who had faith in politics would tend to lose faith in letting things be run by people like that.
Are you going to be able to talk Grace into going back to Europe with you?
She's going back to Germany to do some stuff on TV right after we finish the TV show.
I always think of the lighter side of life when I think of the Jefferson Starship.
Yeah. I mean, there's no sense in dealing too much with heaviness that you can't do anything about. But we have our reputation for dealing with things that can be dealt with, that we know how to deal with, I think. We don't step back into the shadows.
Oh, no.
But you don't have to get real heavy-handed about it. I mean, everybody got real heavy-handed in the late 60s with, you know, after Kent State, out of anger and all that, I guess, musically. But that doesn't really work over any long period of time. It doesn't show what's going on. It just sort of makes people shine away from it.
That you've listened to it, you're out of the studio, and it's behind you, and it's over. What's become your favorite cut?
Oh, I never say those sort of things.
I can't.
It's like saying, well, who's your favorite child in your family?
Well, I know who your favorite child is.
No, I have two children. I like them both.
I would just think you'd have to have a pet, Paul.
And it changes day to day. I like various songs at different times. And once you made the album and heard it, I mean, you hate them all. You've heard it so much that you just want to, you know, not hear it for a while.
Yeah.
Then you get to do it live, which is a whole thing, and then it changes completely. It takes on a whole other thing. Rather than have never been really a group that sounds just like their record, you know? We've always sounded different, much quite different from the record in a lot of ways. And hopefully, well, you know, we'll continue. You don't want to. I could not play the same song the same way, night after night, in the same order. That's really stultifying.
When I was a young boy, I told my mother crazy.
Okay, class, we've all heard it's in the bag, we've all heard grab bag, but who can tell me more about bag?
It's what you carry your lunch in.
No.
It's what they put your groceries in at the store.
No, it's not a what, it's a who.
It's BAG, the Broadcast Arts Group. BAG is several California broadcasters who create and develop high-quality programming for nationwide syndication.
That's right.
BAG's active professionals bring over 25 collective years radio experience to this endeavor.
That's right.
Tonight's Sheila Renee Backstage is one example of their work.
That's right.
That's BAG.
That's BAG?
That's right.
We have a special backstage footnote tonight. The 4th Annual Bay Area Music Awards, affectionately called the BAMMYs, were held recently in San Francisco. And as in the past years, the Jefferson Starship have taken their share of awards. This year, it's no different. The Musician of the Year is a write-in vote and went to Paul Kantner with an overwhelming number of votes. The Best Female Vocalist Award went to Grace Slick. I want to thank Grace for allowing me to co-present the Best Male Vocalist Award, which went to Steve Perry of Journey. It was a big thrill for me. Special congratulations to Grace and Paul, as well as all of the other winners of 1981. For a great interview, Paul, I thank you again. And special thanks to the Starship publicity team, Nadine and Cynthia, as well as RCA Records. My next guest will be Neil Peart, drummer and lyricist with Canada's mega group Rush. And until then, be kind to each other, and I'll be backstage again next week.
Sheila Renee Backstage was produced by Stephen Dunwoody and Billy Vega for the Broadcast Arts Group. This has been another Out of the Bag production.